This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. I will admit, this morning it was difficult not to run to the gospel reading, the one that we always read about Thomas, and to see again the resurrected Jesus who enters the upper room and invites Thomas to touch the wounds in his hand and his side. The little budding disability theologian in me really wanted to go there. But I think that our epistle, I think that Revelation has something to say to us this morning, something that the Spirit was drawing me to. And I hope you'll go with me instead there, because this is the only time in our lectionary that we encounter this, the only time. And I pray that you will maybe do some reading on your own of the entire book. And I think it says something to us this morning as we wrestle with the truth of a risen Christ against the competing truths of real and present suffering. This text was written by John of Patmos a generation after Christ's resurrection to the churches of modern-day Turkey, then a Roman province. In short, it reads, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, and then it goes on to declare Christ as God's true Son, God the Alpha and the Omega, who was and is to come. Revelation doesn't open in this with dread, but with peace, a peace grounded in the unchanging presence of God across all time. We live between two certainties, the creation of the world and the return of Christ, that middle space where history happens, that liminal time that we've all been gifted with, and where all too often tyrants rise and nations rage and people fear. Theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, ultimately martyred by the Third Reich, described this space as the anxious middle, that place between creation and creation's culmination. But our Revelation reading teaches us in that middle, we do not drift in fear. We live in the story that God co-authors alongside us, and its consummation belongs to Jesus the Christ. God is not a concept. God is eternally present, the one who always has been and who always will be. To say that God is to say that no earthly empire is ultimate. This is not an abstract theology. It is resistance language. John wrote this book from his imprisonment on the Isle of Patmos, where he had been exiled for preaching Christ crucified and Christ resurrected. The churches to whom he wrote knew what that meant, in the same way we might know what it meant to receive a letter from Guantanamo Bay or from the infamous prison in El Salvador that's been invading our news feed. In John's day, to say Jesus is Lord was to say Caesar is not. And in that, the church's confession of Christ's lordship, his kingship, was not merely devotional. It was, and it remains, deeply political. It declares that no matter who claims power, it is only God who reigns. Bonhoeffer warned that when the church forgets this, it easily drifts into practical atheism, living as if power, not God, determines reality. But John of Patmos reminds us, history belongs to God, not to any state. And that is the foundation of our peace. To call Jesus the faithful witness is to recognize that he spoke truth in the face of violent oppression, a truth that ultimately found him put to death by that opposition, just as it did Bonhoeffer. But to call him firstborn of the dead is to proclaim that death does not win. And this is what tyranny fears the most. Because make no mistake, tyranny seeks to ground us in fear. Fear of death and fear of uncertainty in the great big middle between the beginning and the end. But we know tyranny is ultimately afraid not of those things, but of the truth of the end. The truth that resurrection is real. It is afraid of people who speak boldly. It does not understand that as a priestly people, we are not afraid to lose earthly power, because we know that Christ is the King of all creation, the firstborn, and the author of our salvation. Bonhoeffer knew this. He refused to bow to the swastika because he had already bowed to the cross. We are not just freed from sin, we are reformed as a kingdom of priests. This is a priestly and a royal identity, but it does not serve the interests of the empire. It serves a crucified and a resurrected king. The church is a royal resistance movement. Not violent, not vengeful, but clear and courageous and consecrated. Our role is not to mirror the values of tyrants, but to model the values of Christ: truth, justice, mercy, holiness, hope. As Bonhoeffer put it, the church witnesses to the end of all things. That means the church tells us the truth about where history is going, even when that truth contradicts the powers of the world. Our text today ends with, "Behold, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the Almighty." This is not fantasy. It is the end of the story. Every eye will see him, every ruler, every citizen, every power that ever claimed supremacy. Revelation doesn't invite us to escape the world, but to interpret it rightly. It tells us that no matter how loud the empires get, Christ is coming. Christ will judge justly and with equity. That is not just hope for the future. It is a motivation for the present. The church can stand tall and speak truth, love its enemies, and resist lies because the outcome is already guaranteed. Revelation tells us to remember that it is God who is eternal and unshaken. To remember who Jesus is, crucified, risen, reigning. And to remember who you are, who we are, a priestly people belonging to the kingdom that cannot be shaken. This is the call for today, church. Be faithful witnesses in word, in action, in resistance to every claim that challenges the lordship of Christ. To say Jesus is Lord is not just theology. It is rebellion against every false throne. And that rebellion is rooted not in hatred, but in hope. Not in fear, but in resurrection. So how do we live? We live where John lived, between what God has already done and what God has promised to do. We live where Bonhoeffer lived, in the anxious middle, where the future feels fragile and powers press in. But still, Revelation 1 anchors us. It tells us that Jesus reigns now, that he is coming, and that the story ends in glory. Our faithfulness is not in vain. Our resistance is not futile. Our witness is not wasted, because Christ is already victorious. This is not optimism. It is resurrection hope, the kind of hope that walks into an upper room full of fear and speaks shalom, the kind of hope that outlives empires, the kind of hope that looks tyrants in the face and says, "You are not the end of this story. The beginning is God. The end is God's. And the middle, this middle where all of us live, is held in God's hands." So take heart, siblings. Hold fast. Live holy. Speak truth. Resist evil. Live your baptism vows. And never lose hope. because Jesus Christ, the most faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, he is coming. And when he does, every lie will fall silent. Every tear will be wiped away, and every faithful witness will hear the words, "Well done." To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.